Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
The Deputy Prime Minister of the UK, David Lammy, has drawn up proposals for all jury trials except for the most serious crimes such as rape, murder and manslaughter to be scrapped. And it got us thinking whether that's something we should be doing here in Ireland. Would it clear the backlog in our courts or would it have a negative impact on our justice system? Well, barrister and senior counsel Ronan Lupton is on the line. Ronan, would you be in favour of a similar system to this UK proposal being applied here? Would it work?
Oh, hi, Anna. Firstly, we already have a system of, assessing offences as to whether they're serious or minor in the Irish legal system. Separately, of course, there's a constitutional protection which suggests that nobody shall be tried for a crime save in the due course of law and with a jury. Now, that particular constitutional provision is circumscribed by law, so there are some exceptions to that. So we have the Special Criminal Court, for example, and we have army tribunals, and we have certain other types of cases that are tried with what we call non-jury systems. So to a degree, we're slightly ahead of the UK in terms of how we operate things. Would it change matters? No, I don't think so. I think in the Irish system, it's slightly more efficient. We wouldn't see much of a change to the backlogs at all. Looking at David Lammy's proposals and reports and gauging what many UK barristers and solicitors are saying, the one thing that came to my mind was the Harvey Norman ad from 2012. Most lawyers are saying, once they're gone, they're gone. And of course, I'm not talking about electrical products, I'm talking about juries. And there is an important element of having serious offences tried before a jury of your peers who find in relation to the facts of a particular crime and make a decision, which is obviously presided upon by a judge who informs them as to the legal position. So I think the legal community in the UK are right. You know, this needs to be very carefully looked at. Whereas in Ireland,
there was a swift backlash from senior lawyers we're hearing who said it wouldn't reduce any backlogs and actually could destroy the justice system as we know it. Can I ask you, Ronan, at what point is a jury brought in the Irish court system? I mean, is it there for kind of lower level petty crime stuff?
No, at all. So what we have developed over many years is a situation where crimes are assessed as being either minor or significant or serious. So anything above, just as a rule of thumb, a crime which results in a prison sentence of above 5 years is usually thought of as being a serious offence and could, in theory, be tried by a jury. So what happens is when a Garda summons somebody or prosecutes somebody before the courts, the Director of Public Prosecutions will make an assessment of the file or of the case and then dictate or direct whether or not the offence should be tried either summarily, which is those small crimes you mentioned, or go forward on an indictment. And oftentimes when an indictable offence is committed, that will be tried before a jury. Now, there are some exceptions to that where they're circumscribed by law, so a judge could sit alone in certain circumstances. But in those serious offences, usually they'd be tried by a jury. There are some exceptions, Anna. If you look at the civil side of the house, for example, we still have juries for defamation actions, and they're due to be scrapped in the current Defamation Bill 2024. We also have juries for trespass of the person or civil assault and false imprisonment. And they will be retained, I think, under the current proposals. And there are uses for juries to find fact in relation to civil issues. And we've seen many of those cases over the years come before the courts. So I think on balance, there are certainly a role for juries determining serious offences, but also certain types of civil actions before the Irish courts.
Can I ask you as well, we often hear, we were chatting about this in the newsroom today, Ronan, you know, when there's a particular case or a heinous crime and, you know, it really captures the attention of the country. It often feels, Ronan, like it's years later when we hear about it going to court. Why is that? What's causing that backlog or that delay?
Well, it really depends, Anna. Sometimes, you know, there are what we call interlocutory steps or steps between the parties which need to be put in place before a trial can occur. For example, in a very serious offence like a murder, It may take time for the evidence to be collated. You know, someone may be arrested and put in remanded in custody where there's a clear position relation to what went on. They may be released on bail until the trial comes about. And that's something I think that, you know, needs to be looked at in terms of how long people are on bail and what their previous convictions are. But just to answer the question directly, you know, there are procedures which mean that, so for example, books of evidence and witnesses and so forth need to be put together and brought to court in order for a trial to take place. So I think there's been a speed up in relation to how serious offences are dispatched. But you're right. I mean, oftentimes there are delays, and usually it's down to, you know, evidence that's critical to a prosecution or critical to the defence of a particular case. It depends on the nature of what it was. But those things take time, and it can be very frustrating, of course, for the public and for the lawyers to have to wait to see justice being done and served before the court.
Yeah, but as you say, it's the granular details of evidence, pieces of evidence, rather than arranging a jury for the particular case. That's not really holding anything up in the process, is
it? Yeah, that's right. And it's important to think about this for a second. You know, crimes are dealt with in the evidential scale, and they must be prosecuted and found beyond a reasonable doubt. And obviously that's a very high threshold. So if a defence lawyer can cast a reasonable doubt over a rape or a murder or something that's of criminal nature, it may mean that the prosecution falls apart. So obviously we have to have all those elements that you mentioned, you know, correct and have the evidence stacked up. So no reasonable doubt can be brought into it in relation to the prosecution. Okay. On the civil scale, it's, you know, balance of probabilities, did this happen, it may have above the 50% level. Whereas on the criminal side of things, obviously if your liberty is at risk by virtue of you being accused of a crime that you may not have done, for example, you know, the prosecutors have to have everything lined up and make sure it's right. And if it's DNA evidence or computer forensics or whatever it is, those things take time, you know.
Okay, and there's so many elements to consider, Ronan. Stay on the line. Deirdre O'Sullivan is on the line as well. Deirdre, you served as a foreman twice on a jury. What do you think? Are jurors needed for all cases?
Hi, Anna. Hi, Ronan. I would agree with the pros and cons of it, but looking back, it's very hard in the world we live in now where you're privy to, on social media, if somebody has committed crimes, it'd be very, if it was a big case. Whereas the first case, the murder case, I was a foreman on, we didn't realise because we were told not to listen to the radio. It was a high-profile case. Mm. And we were given instruction by the judge not to listen to any, you know, or talk to anyone about the case. And afterwards, we discovered that the accused had 98 previous convictions. So had we known that information going in, it definitely would have swayed how we felt about, you know, what conclusion we would come to as jurors. But I think for certain cases, I think a panel of judges definitely would be better.
But Deirdre, it mustn't be easy to avoid.
Not now. I like it. Now, in this day and age, there's absolutely no way you could.
Like, when you think about it, before you even go to look for information, you know, and maybe it's just the way my life is set up, but, you know, there's alerts popping up on your phone. You know, you could be on public transport and see a news update. You know, I mean, it's everywhere, isn't it?
It is. And actually, the jury intimidation, I found, I live in Galway, and there was a lot of intimidation towards the jurors. Like, several weeks later, I was surrounded in town by the family of the accused. Now, thankfully, the case had collapsed, so there was no burden on the jurors to make a decision because after 5 days, the case did collapse itself. So we didn't have to make a decision.
It didn't go ahead.
No, and it was very high profile, and the families of the accused and the family of the victims, they were actually, there was scuffles in the courthouse and they were taking photos of us as we were being sworn in after we were sworn in. So it did feel very intimidating. And then because that case collapsed, the judge at the time had said, Normie, you wouldn't have to do jury duty for, I think it's 10 years or life or something, you know, but he said, we'd no jurors for the next case. So we were, had to be, come back in and be sworn in. The whole process had to start again of selecting the jurors. And I ended, you know, the second case was actually nearly harder because it was a sexual assault case and the DPP shouldn't have let it go as far as it did because there was way too many
There's a lot of sensitivities around anything like this, of course. John is with me on the line as well. Stay there, Deirdre. John, you did jury duty. Talk us through your experience. Have we got John?
My experience, I had two juries called up for twice. And on both occasions, there was 2 days wasted on each case where we were sitting around doing nothing, just sitting around in the courtroom. And on the third day, on the first case, I was called up and we did a half day. And just after lunch, there was legal arguments and the case was dismissed. And then the second time, I was called up, again, 2 days wasted. As a self-employed person, I was on my own expenses for the 2 days as well. And then legal arguments again, and the case was postponed. So overall, I did 6 days of jury service without any case coming up, a proper judgment on the case, because of legal problems. Now, okay. They've been sorted out, I felt, in both cases by the judge and the legal teams earlier on, and it would have saved those two juries being called. And it was just the expense of a 60-mile round trip, diesel, parking.
Do you not get expenses covered when you're called for jury duty, John?
No, you have nothing. And we were, the days we were doing nothing, they dismissed us at 10 to 1, so we didn't even get a lunch out of it.
And are you compensated as a self-employed person at all?
Nothing.
Nothing?
You get nothing, no. So I was out 6 days. And for nothing at the end of the day, because the cases were dismissed on legal grounds.
So there was no actual hearing in the end, just a lot of hanging around.
Hanging around, and then, yes, a lot of hanging around. But I felt that definitely in the two cases, that those legal arguments definitely could have been sorted inside in some room, rather than having us sitting on a jury for half a day and listening to legal arguments backwards and forwards. And then we were sent into the jury room and come back 10 minutes later and told to go home.
Yeah, I mean, could you have refused it on the basis that you couldn't afford to take the time out?
No. Again, like the previous contributor there, there was a shortage of jury members.
Okay.
And thankfully, I didn't get called for another case. But there was a shortage of people, and you knew you were going to be called up because there was only two juries literally brought in on Monday, and there was a whole week of cases coming up. So you were bound to get called for one of them. But it was just, in both cases, I've spent 6 days, and they were total waste of money and time for me. And, I felt the resources of the court weren't properly used there.
Yeah, I wonder about compensation for, self-employed person taking 6 days out. Ronan, can I bring you in on that? I know it's slightly off topic, but I still think it's an important element of, being part of a jury. Is there no compensation in place?
Very limited. I think it's usually tea and sandwiches at lunchtime. But it is a very, very important civic duty. And I understand Deirdre and John's frustrations, but juries are there to determine fact in a case. The judge has no role in terms of determining fact in trials. So it's a very important role that the jury fulfills. And I completely agree with John's frustration. I do jury work myself, and it can be the case that people are brought in, impaneled, and for some reason or other, the jury has to be discharged or spent or there's legal argument. That's just the nature of how things go in the courts, unfortunately. And yes, to some extent, you might say, well, it's inefficient. But actually, when it comes down to issues of guilt or innocence or, right and wrong, having a jury to determine what the position is very critical as far as it goes. And, as far as I see it, it's a very important civic duty that needs to be fulfilled. Perhaps the state on it, just to address the question, do need to look at whether there should be compensation for self-employed people at a daily rate.
Who are out of pocket for 6 days? I mean, it's a long time, isn't it, when the case doesn't even go ahead in the end, Ronan?
Yeah, I think that's probably right. Yeah, but there are reasons for these things. I mean, just listening to Deirdre's example, a jury panel shortage was unfortunate because ultimately, usually when a jury is charged with a particular case and they've heard the preliminary facts of it, once it falls apart, they're usually determined to be spent and sent home, and that's the end of their duty. But I think there must have been an issue with shortage of jurors.
Yeah. You see, I think, Ronan, anyone who isn't familiar with the system, you're there all the time, and you know, you know, and I know there's delays and backlogs in every industry, of course there is, and you're used to that. But I think people have a sense of what it's going to play out like, and they expect it to be, you know, full of action and drama, you know, almost like the way we've watched courtrooms unfold in the movies or, in, you know, by popular culture. But you know, there's so much backlog and delays behind the scenes of these things, isn't there?
There are. And, you know, the difficulty with, and I mean this in the sort of, you know, motion sense, but travelling with a jury is an interesting thing because ultimately both sides of the case need the jury to be alive and you know, watching what's going on in the court when the evidence is being heard. It's very important. But sometimes during the course of evidence, something comes up that gives rise to a legal point. And that legal point might determine the case at a very early stage or at a very late stage. And in those circumstances, the jury will be sent out and an argument happens with the judge who's presiding on issues of law. And suddenly the case can end and that's the end of it. But that doesn't mean that the jury and their attention and their focus in terms of the evidence wasn't needed. There's still a component part of it, but it's just a bigger production, I suppose, if you're putting it in show terms. And it can be very frustrating. No two ways about that. When you have issues that come up that have to be disposed of there and then. So sometimes legal arguments can go for days. And a jury panel can be sitting in a room just, you know, twiddling their thumbs, waiting for evidence to recommence or whatever, you know.
Of course.
I certainly take that point, you know.
A lot of people, Ronan, are saying that John could have said he's self-employed. They're very understanding if you're self-employed and your business is going to suffer. Yeah. Someone else says, I'm self-employed and I got called for jury duty. I wrote to the courts and explained that taking the time off would impact my earnings and I didn't have to attend. Is that realistic, Ronan?
It is. I mean, oftentimes what happens is the electoral register is used, but the jury is picked from the register. It goes to county registrar. It comes into the courtroom and a jury is impaneled from maybe 100 people, 150 people, and it's like a lottery, basically. So your number is called. If you have an issue that you can't serve for some reason or other, you can tell the judge, and the judge will make a decision. So sometimes people have flights planned or travel or whatever, sick children. You know, there's a number of different reasons. That's when it's before the court. But oftentimes you can write, once you receive a letter to say, I have a bona fide reason as to why I can't serve on a jury. Sometimes lawyers get, you know, ask to serve on juries and we're not allowed, for example, that sort of thing. But oftentimes the state will look at the court service.
Yeah.
They look at it and say, in the round, there's a bona fide reason here. The person can't do it. You know, they might have an issue with flashing lights. There's various different.
Of course. It's very much case by case. Ronan Lupton, thank you for answering all of our questions on that. That's Ronan Lupton, barrister and senior counsel. Thank you to John and to Deirdre O'Sullivan as well and all of our contributors on that item.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.